Hello. Hi. We are ready to get started. So I'm super excited to introduce the next speaker. Abby Jacobson actually helped me get into leadership years ago, and here I am now. She is a physician assistant working as a medical director for a pharmaceutical company. She practiced as a dermatology PA for over 15 years, then as a medical science liaison before taking her current position. Abby has held numerous leadership positions with patient advocacy groups and professional medical societies, including serving for over a decade on the SDPA Board of Directors. She is a university lecturer and has been published in both journals and conferences in the United States and Europe. Please give a warm welcome to Abby Jacobson.
Thank you. This is an awesome, interesting topic to talk about. And actually, when I made these slides, I thought I had an hour. And then when I was prepping, I realized, oh my gosh, I only have 30 minutes. So we have to go through our objectives a little bit quicker than I anticipated, which is great. That's going to keep us energized and excited. So here are our objectives. And the first thing we need to talk about is, why are we even talking about this subject, right? Why do we care about healthcare provider burnout? Why do we care about PA-specific burnout? So healthcare provider burnout has been shown in the literature to lead to depression, to provider suicide, to increased rates of provider substance abuse. It has also been associated with poorer patient outcomes, increased medical error, decreasing the quality of care that patients are getting. It's also an independent factor for physician malpractice suits. I couldn't find anything associating PA malpractice suits with burnout, just because there is not as many malpractice suits against PAs. There hasn't been enough in the literature, but it is a factor that has been associated with increased rates of malpractice suits for our physician colleagues. So clearly, burnout has a negative impact on the delivery of patient care. Why do we care about it specifically, though, for the PA profession? Historically, both in the literature, there is a higher rate of satisfaction, career satisfaction, for physician assistants compared to the career satisfaction for our physician colleagues. And we would like to keep it that way. Healthcare needs physician assistants, right? When we look at the projections, both for specialties and primary care, we see a shortage of physicians. We see areas of our country where patients cannot get access to care. We saw just recently during this pandemic, areas like New York City and Texas, where physician assistants swarmed those cities, and because of our flexibility in training, shifted out of dermatology and out of orthopedics and into the ICU and into the urgent care and into the ER and descended upon Manhattan to fill into a pandemic. We need to be satisfied in our profession and in our career in order to have the flexibility to meet the healthcare needs of the United States. So we need to make sure we're addressing healthcare burnout of our profession specifically. With that, I want to get a little pulse of where we are as a group, so I know where to spend a little bit more time than others. So I have a couple audience response questions so I can anonymously get a feel of where everyone in this group is. So let's take a couple minutes and answer just about eight questions. I think I put eight questions in here. So grab your response systems, right, which I think you guys do on your phones, right, and those of you online at home. So how, or the first question is, would you like to leave direct patient bedside care? So your options are yes, yesterday, please, eventually, but not yet. C, I have considered it. D, no thank you. Or E, never. So if I click the next button, will we see the result? Oh, here we go. Okay, so yes, yesterday, eventually, but not yet. Considering it, no thank you. Oh, we're still tallying. Okay. Oh, a couple people. Oh. Okay. Someone's like six, seven, yes, no, I can't decide. Okay. Let's go on to the next question. Okay. I feel used up at the end of the workday. I want you to think if you've ever felt that way about the end of your workday. A, I've never felt that way, used up at the end of the workday. B, rarely. C, sometimes. D, frequently. E, always. Okay, we'll talk about this in a second. Let's answer the next question. I feel exhilarated after working closely with patients or staff. A, never. B, rarely. C, sometimes. D, frequently. E, always. I feel exhilarated after working closely with patients or staff. Good, and I think we could all probably think back to rotations or that first 6 months after clinical practice. I think we probably would have said we always feel exhilarated, right? I feel patients blame me for some of their problems. A, never. B, rarely. C, sometimes. D, frequently. E, always. Where would you answer that? Patients blame me for their problems. Sometimes, yeah, never. Oh, okay, I'm glad no one is saying always, frequently. All right, let's go to the next question. I worry this job is hardening me emotionally. A, never. B, rarely. C, sometimes. D, frequently. E, always. I worry this job is hardening me emotionally. C, sometimes, is leading the pack. Are you guys are seeing these answers too? Okay. Four people saying always, some people saying frequently, and some people saying never. Okay, let's go to the next question. Do you feel you're experiencing professional burnout? Yes, no, or not sure? Okay, so more people are saying yes, no, and just some not sures. We'll talk about the not sures. In the last 6 months, I have looked for another position. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean changing out of clinical medicine, just another position, or a career change, or considered cutting back my hours last 6 months. A, never. B, about once a month. C, about once a week. Or D, daily. Where are you falling in this last 6 months? Looking for another job. Once a month, once a week. Some people checking daily. You're on Indeed, LinkedIn, everywhere. Okay. We're in the home stretch. Last question. If I had to pick one, I want just the people who said that they're dissatisfied in their job. So this means the folks that have gone online and looked for another job. If you haven't looked for another job or you haven't thought about a career change, you're perfectly happy where you are, I don't want you to answer this question, okay? If you had to pick one reason for dissatisfaction right now, so this is the folks that have looked for another job or they're thinking of a career change or they feel like they're burnout. If you had to pick one of the reasons that you either feel burnt out or you're looking for another job or career change, and you had to pick your top reason, would it be because of compensation, COVID, your supervising physician, administration or EHR, electronic health records, lack of growth, or the healthcare system as a whole? So what's winning out, and this is actually supported again by the literature, that the healthcare system as a whole seems to be a huge contributing factor for even our physician colleagues when we talk about burnout. And that really is somewhat tied into some of the EHR aspect of it. So signs of burnout, I'm not going to read everything on this slide, but I think some of you could really have written this slide yourself, right? Decreased satisfaction, cynicism, making mistakes, feeling tired, procrastinating. And some of these questions, those middle questions, I took from this validated tool. And you can find this online, you can Google it yourself, for those of you that said you're not sure if you're experiencing professional burnout, Google this tool, give it to yourself, and then you can give yourself this score, and it will tell you where you're falling in this range of potential professional burnout. The one thing that this validated tool doesn't really quite measure for us as physician assistants is there's nothing on this tool that measures your satisfaction with your relationship with your supervising or collaborative physician. And there are studies in the literature that say PA and other professions that have a supervising physician or collaborative physician, that relationship and that satisfaction can contribute to burnout. So there was a study with ERPAs that there was a correlation with their level of dissatisfaction with their physician's supervision correlating to their level of burnout. And there was another study with clinical nurses that the greater their satisfaction with their clinical supervisor and their clinical leadership decreased their level of burnout. So this tool really doesn't capture that. There is an endangered species known as the solo practitioner physician, okay? And there's an even rarer species called the really invested great supervising or collaborative physician. And I've had some of these early in my career. My first supervising physician was absolutely fabulous. Taught me things, treated me as a colleague. I really think I would be with him my whole career had he not passed away. Someone who hugged me when I passed my pants. So as we see, corporations buying more practices, we see healthcare changing on our supervising physicians as well. We see the pandemic, changing their lives as well. We see that medical school definitely did not prepare them to be businessmen and businesswomen either. Didn't prepare them to be a supervising physician as well. So this is sort of the uncaptured aspect that can contribute to burnout for PAs. Who is more at risk for burnout? Women are more at risk than men. Younger providers seem to be more at risk for burnout. In particular for PAs, and this is not derm specific, 5 to 9 years of experience seems to be the highest target area for burnout or target years. ERPAs seem to have the highest rate of burnout, at least according to AAPA data. As opposed to physicians, these were the specialties that had the highest rate of burnout. The urology, neurology really kind of surprised me, but those were the statistics. So let's discuss some strategies to manage and mitigate burnout, and then we'll talk about some alternative careers. These are the things you don't want to do if you're experiencing professional burnout. So the Rocky picture is one of the things you don't want to do, which is stay for abuse. And just say, I love my job, right? Is this what you would tell your patient to do who's in a physically, sexually, or mentally abusive situation? The answer is no. You would not tell them to lie to themselves. And the next picture, you would also not tell your patient to do, which is just to lie to yourself because you feel guilty. And I definitely talk to a lot of providers, especially PAs, right? You spend all this time, you spend all this money, it's really competitive to get into PA school now. I don't think I could actually get into PA school now. I'm super lucky it was the 90s because I probably wouldn't be admitted now. But now it's super competitive and hard to get into PA school, and there's this sense of guilt if you don't feel really good taking care of patients, and you shouldn't feel that way. So just lying to yourself is not going to help. But convincing yourself, well, I should feel good, or I'm getting this amount of money, is also not going to be a good strategy, right? You would not tell your patient that. Just lie to yourself long enough. It's okay not to validate your feelings. That's not healthy, okay? So what are some options? Number one is look at your work-life balance. If you are working lots of hours, is this something that you really need to do, right? Can you budget? Can you afford a different life? Can you negotiate less hours? Every time we talk about contract negotiations, we're always talking about more money, right? Maybe you actually need less hours, okay? Maybe I should put my Louis Vuitton purse away and not buy another, and instead think about what is important to my mental health, okay? Can you make changes in terms of staffing? Can you make changes in terms of EHR? Can you prioritize your physical health? I've never been one of those folks that likes to exercise or marathon run, but supposedly those people do exist. So is that your outlet? Is that something you need to get back to? Do you need the help of a mental health professional, right? You know, there's also lots of studies that talk about we tell our patients to seek counseling and mental health and substance abuse resources, but as healthcare providers, we are the last to seek those resources. So do you need the help of someone who can help you through those feelings? Career coaching. Career coaching can also help you find your vision. Can you just improve your work environment? Can you take that leadership role in your work environment? And starting a side gig or a side hustle, which by the way, hustle does not have a negative connotation anymore, right? There was a discussion online about that where some of my mentors were like, hustle means you're swindling. I'm like, no. A hustle just means you're like working hard, and, you know, like turn on some rap songs. It'd be like if I called someone cool, doesn't mean the temperature's cold. It just means you're working hard doing something else. That can be an outlet, a creative outlet, just a fun outlet, or it could be your exit strategy, right? To give yourself that financial buffer to cut down on your hours or potentially to leave. So let's talk about those alternative career options, which probably some of you are like, that's what I thought this whole lecture was gonna be about. That's all I wanted to hear. But I wanted to give you some signs and symptoms and things to look about or look and think about in terms of burnout. So as we think about alternative careers, what you can do with this PA skill set, I wanted to talk to you about some PAs and some of the things that they did with their skill set. So does everyone recognize some of the PAs on the slides in front of you? Can you raise your hand if you recognize some of these PAs? I'd hope you recognize at least these gentlemen in black and white. Okay, so these gentlemen in black and white were from the very first physician assistant class. And I don't think that they had someone to look at to say, I want to be like them. What they had was a skill set, right? These were Navy corpsmen who had medical training and experience and said, I don't know what it is that I want to do, but I have a skill set, so I'm going to figure it out. So they weren't looking at a job listing, say, where do the requirements say Navy Corpsman? Okay, so if you're just looking through Indeed and wherever saying, where's the job listing that says PA? Okay, you're going to miss the boat. So let's talk about the other folks on here. So this woman on CNN is a physician assistant. She's a congresswoman. She's Congresswoman Karen Bass. She chairs the Black Caucus. She was vetted to be Joe Biden's vice presidential candidate. Do you think the job description of a congresswoman, chair of the Black Caucus, or vice president, any point says physician assistant? No, she has a skill set. She worked in the ER. She was a PA faculty member. She didn't like what she saw in her area of folks that were addicted to drugs. She saw a solution. She didn't like the punishment that was happening. She said, I have the skill set to fix this. So she went forward with her leadership skills, and here's where she is. The gentleman in black and white on the top right is a gentleman by the name of Rick Roars. He's been a hospital administrator for going on 30 years with a master's degree, by the way. He pretty much wrote the PA Practice Act, all of the rules that allow people to practice in the state of Maryland. Do you think when he became a hospital administrator in the 90s, when that position became available, do you think it said, or physician assistant? Or do you think when there was a hospital administrator job, he said, I can do that. I have that skill set. I want to be there, and I want to put all these PAs in these positions at my hospital here in Maryland. And then he later became an AAPA president, okay? This woman with the necklace, her name is Beth Smolko. She is the medical director for JP Morgan Chase. And I want to show you the job description for a medical director at JP Morgan Chase. In case you can't read all of it, I'm going to read for you the first sentence. MD or DO required. So, how did Beth get this job? She stopped looking for a job listing that said physician assistant. She looked at everything else, okay? Superior clinical judgment, check. Innovative, self-motivated, check. Ability to develop strategic plans, check, 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 okay? The other thing is that, and I don't know those three gentlemen from the PA class, but I do know the other two, and then I've just read about Karen, but I do know Rick and I do know Beth. They have a long history of leadership and volunteerism. So they've been volunteers, they've been leaders, both within PA professional organizations. Beth has also been an AAPA president. They've been leaders and volunteers in their state society. They've been leaders and volunteers in patient advocacy groups. They've published, they've networked. They didn't just throw a resume or CV into some HR person who's like, you're an assistant to what? They had connections, they had publishing behind them, they had personal development, they had a skill set, and so they knew they could do a job that didn't say physician assistant in the job listing. Things that you may see that do have physician assistant in the job listing is a PA program faculty member. And that's certainly another area if you're saying, I really am, I'm burnt out, I want to do something else, but I do want to use my PA skill set. There are not enough PAs right now that want to work in PA schools, so that is another great option. The thing I want you to think about, though, is there are other positions in education beyond being a PA faculty member. Because you guys obviously are getting a theme here that I like to see PAs really working at the top of your skill set. So let me show you Matt Baker, who started as a PA faculty member, but he is a provost at a university, okay? So there is faculty members, and there's program directors, and then there are deans, and then there are provosts, okay? And this gentleman is a provost, so he has multiple schools underneath him, not just physician assistant programs, that are reporting to Provost Baker. Hospital medical administrator is another path that you could take. I tried to look up average salaries, but this was literally all over the board. Like, you would either take a pay cut or you would quadruple your salary. So it really is dependent on what type of administrative role you'd be looking at. Certainly an option if you say, you know, I like clinical practice, but I just don't like my current clinical practice. There are multiple different models you could look at to take an ownership, either in clinical practice or something on your own. And then, of course, probably what you thought I was going to talk about this whole entire time, which was my path, which was to start out as a medical science liaison. I included an infographic, and I'll give you a brief description of medical science liaisons. What I didn't want you to do, though, is say, okay, I have two choices. I still practice in dermatology, or I follow the one example I'm seeing on the stage. That is why I didn't spend 30 minutes telling you the two jobs that I've had. Here's some information about medical science liaisons across all specialties, and I want to tell you a little bit about what an MSL does. According to the MSL Society, an MSL works through a product life cycle. They ensure that a medication is used effectively, serve as a scientific peer, will help with internal colleagues at companies. They establish a peer-to-peer relationship. Again, this is their wording, with leading physicians and key opinion leaders. But as many of you know, we also have key opinion leaders that are both NPs, PAs, pharmacists, etc. This was a breakdown of duties because, just like you have probably been asked, what does a derm PA do? You know, we have derm PAs that are doing Moos, and we have derm PAs that are seeing acne all day. There's many, many different things. So there's many different things that a medical science liaison will do, from attending a medical conference, to answering an off-label question, to being present at an advisory board, to working on preclinical development, to working on publications. So I couldn't summarize in one slide what a medical science liaison does. If you have an interest in becoming a medical science liaison, you really need to spend a good couple hours with a medical science liaison saying, walk me through the average day for you, 5 different days. Because if you get to an interview, and I've talked to maybe now 3 PAs that say, I keep getting to the interview and I don't get the job. It's probably because on the interview, they were asking you, tell me the things you think you're gonna do, and you didn't know. Here are the pros and cons: good work-life balance, good income, some travel that can be dependent on the job, the position, the company. And a con is a lack of patient care, although if you're burnt out, that may actually be a pro at the beginning. There are other roles in the pharmaceutical industry. I work as a medical director, which again, I could not possibly summarize in a slide. I probably have, again, 10 different days if I had to describe an average day. I do a lot more with strategy and publications and data and pre-clinical developments and safety and post-clinical studies. And then there's different types of medical directors. I have a PA colleague of mine that does all of the writing of trial design, and then he gets all of the data and puts it together for the FDA. So his job is totally different than mine and super neat. And you know what? His path was the same as mine. Tons of leadership, tons of publication, tons of networking, and his job never said PA in the job title when he got his job, okay? So lots of different types of medical directors. There's also PAs in marketing, which is another super interesting area of the pharmaceutical industry. CROs are clinical research organizations. I know a couple PAs that work in CROs. And then pharmacovigilance is safety. I don't know any PAs that work in pharmacovigilance, but this is an area that's ripe for our skill set, as well as medical info. So get rid of the Oliver Twist syndrome of looking for job ads that only say that. here to summarize that these are the changes you need to make if you say, I want to leave bedside care, as opposed to in purple, if you want to stay in bedside care. Those are some of the changes you can make to make direct patient care just a little bit different for yourself to decrease the burnout that you might be experiencing. If I had to summarize, you know, what are the other roles that are open for PAs? My answer, my 10-second answer is, the roles that are there are the ones that interest you. You have the core skill set to do a lot more than I could fit in this presentation. And even better, the MSL role and definitely this medical director role have greatly expanded my skill set from what I came into them as a PA, even with the leadership and experience that I had already had. One of the reasons that all these employers are looking for a leader, all that experience I was talking about, why they wanted more than just 15 years of taking care of patients, is that shows a willingness to solve problems. Think about in your own office, okay? You all work with medical assistants and nurses, right? Who is your favorite? Is it that one who says, I noticed there was a problem with the supply closet, so I just did it and fixed it myself. And then I created a system that I explained it to everyone else in the office so they keep it organized. Is that person your favorite medical assistant? Or do you like the one that just does their job and leaves? So if you were looking for your next medical director, MSL, congressperson, whoever, and two resumes come out in front of you, and they look the same except for the person that had a leadership position and got published and this and this and this, do you want the person who volunteered and organized the closet and showed they had the muscle to do both at the same time, or the person who did one thing? Okay? So the only limitation for the job that you can go to is yourself, your imagination, your creativity. I want to come to you the way I came to Beth when I saw that she had gotten this job at J.P. Morgan and went, what is this job? How did you get it? And tell me what you do. I want to come to you at the next conference and say to you, what is this job? How did you get it? And what do you do? If you guys have any questions, there is my email. It's actually easier to get me by cell phone. Text me anytime. You're welcome to email me, but I got a lot of email. But the cell phone and texting, definitely I respond to like ASAP. I will be at the reception tonight. Blow me away over the next year with the things that I see from you guys. Have a good conference. Oh. Was I supposed to do questions? I went over, sorry.